To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan. There's an interesting story coming up next about how public service does or doesn't look after you as a citizen. Laura Smith contacted me about her son Callum, who has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Now, you're going to hear at the beginning of this interview the impact that that disability has on her child. But the real story here is how the Health and Social Care Board are treating Laura. Have a listen to how this begins. It begins with Laura telling me about her son.
Callum is 5. He is cheeky and funny and an absolute delight. And he has a condition called Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
And what is that?
It's the severe progressive muscle wasting condition. Unfortunately, there's no cure for it. And we will see Callum lose all his abilities in the coming years.
Not a great prognosis, Laura.
It's not, no. He will be completely paralysed by his late teens. And the life expectancy is not much longer after that.
Well, how long has he got?
Well, they're saying the average life expectancy in Northern Ireland, maybe 20.
Right, okay. And how old do you say he is now?
He, Callum, will be 6 next week.
How do you cope with that? Does that make every day special?
It does, but it's very, very hard. I mean, at the minute he's out here playing in the paddling pool and I'm watching what he can do and knowing that that's all going to be taken from him.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
And there are drugs that could help your son, aren't there?
There's one drug available. It's the only ever treatment for Duchenne. And it's only for a certain population of the boys with Duchenne. It's only for certain mutations. And Callum fits the criteria exactly. And we applied for it by IFR. And the Health and Social Care Board have come back to us a couple of weeks ago and said that they had refused the application.
Why?
I don't know why. I haven't received a copy of their reasoning. It's something I look forward to receiving. I don't know if it's come down to money or what it has come down to be honest. I'm left in limbo.
Well, would they not tell you?
The decision wasn't actually given to me. It was given to his consultant because he was the one who applied. But for me to be able to see the results and their reasonings, I had to actually write away to the medical team, the medical legal team. And I've been told it could take up to 40 days for me to find out what their reasonings were.
So you still haven't been told?
No, I have no idea.
And to be clear, you contacted us, right? So just to be clear, you would like us to discuss your individual son, wouldn't you?
I would like somebody to find answers for me. I would like the Health and Social Care Board to step forward, give me a reason why they're not allowing him access. I don't see any reason if it's come down to money or whatever. Trial results have been good enough for it to be allowed in Spain and Germany and Italy. I genuinely cannot think why they're not allowing it.
Well, when we asked the Health and Social Care Board for a response about your son, we get the usual back, which is very convenient from these government bodies. It is not appropriate for the Health and Social Care Board to comment on the circumstances of an individual patient case. Well, do you know what? You don't mind us commenting on the individual circumstances.
No, I want them to give somebody.
You want the details, but again,
I want to know what it is. I want to know so that I can fight it.
Yeah, and it's really, really convenient and handy for these government bodies to stonewall people like us by saying it's not appropriate. What is it? Not convenient? Not convenient for them? They can discuss it if they want to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I give my full permission for anybody to discuss it to come forward and say this is our reasoning.
So in other words, is it too much hassle to the Health and Social Care Board? Is that what not appropriate means?
I think maybe they just don't want me to find out who made the decision.
Here's what they've said in the rest of their statement. In considering a request for specialist drug treatment on behalf of an individual patient, the HSC board must take account of the evidence of the drug's effectiveness and in this regard applies NICE guidance where it is available. The board also takes account of guidance from other national bodies, for example, the Scottish Medicines Consortium, particularly if NICE guidance has not been issued. For Translarna, advice in regard to its cost effectiveness has not yet been issued by NICE or the SMC. In this circumstance, Translarna is not currently commissioned in Northern Ireland.
No, it's not, but we actually met with Jim Wells, the Health Minister, last October, who told us that we could go ahead and play for the IFR. He was very supportive of it. Nobody. We're expecting a decision from NHS England today whether or not England's going to allow it to be accessible. Scotland's people are only just applying for their AFRs. We were led to believe that Northern Ireland was leading the way, and now they're saying, well, because nobody else is doing it, we can't either. That's not what we were informed at the start of this. So to me, they're passing the buck from one thing to another. I want to know their reasons behind it. Yeah. It takes me 40 days to get a copy of their refusal. It has to be appealed within 20 days. Yes, fair enough. It's not me doing the appeal.
They're then getting into the other things.
I need to know.
They're then getting into the other things here in their statement of where they set out as part of the process, the patient's hospital consultant can put in writing exceptional clinical circumstances which apply, and then maybe you can get it. But they don't in their statement actually say whether your consultant has applied or not. So
my consultant, Colin's consultant, has applied. What they're saying by exceptional circumstance, the Shane is rare in itself. It's a 3,500 people, boys will be born with Duchenne. We're talking about a 5-year-old boy who is now on heart medication because the Duchenne's already affecting his heart. What do they class as an exceptional circumstance? Because to me, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. A 5-year-old boy who struggles walking, running, jumping, and is on heart medication. What more do they need to do?
There's another question which I believe is in the public interest to put to the Health and Social Care Board about this. Because they then put in their second statement to the Nolan Show, because we've been pushing them in this, they then say, the Health and Social Care Board does not communicate its decisions directly to patients or their families. Rather, all decisions are communicated to the relevant hospital consultant and other relevant staff. So in other words, here are the questions that I have for the Health and Social Care Board this morning, and indeed its chief executive. You know, why do you not give the courtesy to a patient whose life it is to communicate the decision directly to them, or at least copy it into them? Why on earth, with you as the mother, why on earth do you not receive the decision directly as a courtesy to you as the mother? Why is it only the consultant gets it? Yes, a consultant has the...
The consultant,
you can understand, probably has the professional capacity to understand it better than you and I and other people. But are you not entitled to it?
I am entitled to it as his mother. And to be honest with you, Stephen, without sounding big-headed, I know quite a lot about this condition now from him having it 4 years. I'm pretty sure I could understand their medical jargon.
I'm
pretty sure that's why I'm not being involved.
So it is the policy of the Health and Social Care Board in Northern Ireland that if they deny life-saving or life-changing drugs to a human being in Northern Ireland, they don't communicate that decision directly to that individual.
Yes.
They actually send it to someone else, their consultant.
For them to ring me and say, look, I'm sorry, but they've refused and we can't tell you why. That makes no sense to me.
How is that acceptable? I'll tell you what I'm going to do on your behalf. I'm going back to the Health and Social Care Board. I'm asking them who created this rule, why are they standing over it, why are you not being afforded the respect that either you, as your son's guardian, get that information. Why not?
I struggle with how they've came to the decision and how I can't be included in this. I mean, I could put them in contact with... There's 6 boys in Northern Ireland who this drug would work for, and the other 5 boys are actually receiving it via the trial.
When you say this drug would work, what difference might it make to your son? It's not going to prolong his life, is it?
Effectively, it could. It'll slow down the progression of the condition. So when we're told by the age of 9 or 10, he won't have the power in his legs, he won't be able to walk, this could slow that down until 12, 13. So it's slowing the progression down. And I think that it's cost-effective as well. It's an expensive drug, but it's cost-effective because it's delaying the health problems and it's costing the NHS less money in the long run. So it makes a massive difference. And I could get them in contact with the other 5 parents of the other 5 boys who are on the drug, and it's making a significant difference.
Do you know, there are sometimes health managers who, when they meet me out and about or they're talking to the BBC in other ways, sometimes the health managers suggest that I am too hard on them. They don't think I give them a fair crack of the whip. Here is a perfect example of why this programme will continue to put pressure on certain elements of the NHS. And it goes without saying that the NHS saves lives and we are deeply, deeply grateful and honoured to have so many hardworking doctors and nurses and indeed medical executives and bosses who are saving lives. But here's a perfect example of why the Nolan Show will continue to do what it does.
Yes,
you can't get information about your son, and the Health and Social Care Board of this country are saying, no, we're not giving you the information. We're sending it to a consultant. You're not entitled to it. Why? Let me
That's
go back to them. Let me go back to them. I'm going back to them. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Stephen.
Morning. Well, we did go back to them and just wait for the response. Now, remember that this is a board that you, the taxpayer, are paying for, that Laura is deeply, deeply concerned about her son, and that she's now come to the BBC as a last resort, desperate for her disabled son and desperate for the Health and Social Care Board to at least reach out to her and communicate with her. Now, just wait till you hear the response that we got when we went back a third time to the Health and Social Care Board. And we asked them a range of questions because clearly Laura is now desperate. And we said to the Health and Social Care Board here in Northern Ireland, who have a board of directors and executive directors and all that kind of stuff, right? And we said the following to them. We said, who decides the policy that parents and guardians are not told directly? Parents like Laura. They give us a web link. We then said to them, who's responsible for the policies that means that Laura can't get a direct question answered from the HSC? Health and Social Care Board didn't even bother to give a personal answer to Laura. They sent us a web link. Who is responsible? Why are parents and guardians not entitled to an explanation, we asked? They sent us a web link. Is the Health and Social Care Board prepared to review this policy? They sent us a web link and then they confirmed that they're reviewing their policy. So that's the totality of the Northern Ireland, a key board in Northern Ireland. That's the totality of them trying to liaise with someone in Northern Ireland. Two web links they've given us.